Committee on General Government. Welcome, everyone. We have three public hearings today, and so I'm going to open public hearing on House Bill 2087 and ask our committee administrators to put us in the picture.
Sure. House Bill 2087 adds the Oregon Department of Transportation to the list of agencies that can enter into leases of real property for more than 5 years without approval of the Oregon Department of Administrative Services.
Thank you. We have someone from the from ODOT here this morning to talk to us, John Jackley. Welcome.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, I'm John Jackley, the Executive Officer for the Highway Division. We appreciate the opportunity to be here this morning. Our department is strongly committed to improving and streamlining how well we manage our property, and we're strongly committed to putting as much of this property to work as possible on behalf of the taxpayers. House Bill 2087 is part of this overall effort to manage our real estate as efficiently as possible. It's a streamlining bill that eliminates one step in the leasing process by putting ODOT in the same group as aviation, state lands, higher education, and property that's controlled by the legislative and judicial branches that are exempt from DAS approval for long-term leases, which are those over 5 years. Part of how we manage our real estate is surplus property. A little bit of background: if something is surplus property, it's gone through our process and it's been approved for disposal. But sometimes a buyer might back out, so we still have it, so we'll want to lease it so it's still being put to good use. Another example is where surplus property is in an area where a major highway project might be talked about. So we don't want to sell it now and then have to buy it back 7 to 10 years later at a much higher price. So again, we'll lease it in order to keep putting it to use on behalf of the taxpayers. Now, this bill eliminates that one step of DAS approval for these kind of long-term leases. It would apply to both surplus property and excess property. Excess property is property that's not on the right-of-way along the highway, but we're still not using it. DAS does not object to the bill, and we respectfully request your approval for House Bill 2087.
Thank you. Questions? I have one.
Sure.
How many leases do you think you have?
Madam Chair, we do about 1 to 2 of these a year. It's a very small number. But again, if your goal is streamlining, our goal is streamlining. If we have the opportunity to eliminate one unnecessary step in the bureaucratic process, we'd like to take it.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Yes, Representative.
Ms. Speaker, Ms. Chairman, is it a long involved process to get approval from DAS?
Madam Chair, Representative Sumner, it's actually not. There are forms to fill out. There's letters that go back and forth. I wouldn't characterize it as something that takes an inordinate amount of time. But again, when we're trying to streamline the bureaucracy, every little bit helps, and this is one step in that direction.
Thank you.
Thank you. No one else seems to be jumping forward to speak on this. So I'm going to close the public hearing on House Bill 2087 and open a public hearing on House Bill 2115. Kara.
We have John Sager.
Yeah.
House Bill 2115 allows the Oregon Department of Transportation to exchange real or personal property for services.
John, are you going to come back up? And
Madam Chair, members of the committee, again, I'm John Jackley, Executive Officer for the Highway Division. House Bill 2115, again, is part of our commitment to strengthening and improving how well we manage our real estate. In fact, the primary beneficiary of this bill is the private sector and the taxpayers. By allowing the department to dispose of property in exchange for services, as well as for money or other property, we can get very valuable property back on the tax rolls, mostly as commercial or industrial, and save taxpayers money for new facilities such as maintenance. I do need to mention about the word services. It's a legal term that can be somewhat misleading in this context, because in this case it means developing buildings as opposed to a service in the traditional sense of the word. Now today, we can exchange surplus property for another property that includes buildings, but we can't exchange undeveloped property that includes a proposal to construct new buildings, because that's considered services, which current law doesn't allow us to do. Here's a good example of where this bill might have really helped. Most people are familiar with the outlet stores in Lincoln City. Well, that used to be the old site of our maintenance station there. We got lucky because the developer took a real chance by acquiring land elsewhere and building another facility for us, but they weren't able to count on us okaying the deal ahead of time. We've been approached with other offers to replace buildings at new sites in exchange for current property, but without House Bill 2115, we can't accept those offers. We have a number of facilities, particularly maintenance ones, that were built years ago on what used to be rural areas or the outskirts of town. And many years later, those facilities are now in neighborhoods or near commercial areas, and we don't need them there, and the real estate's become a lot more valuable. With House Bill 2115, we can get this valuable real estate back on the tax rolls. It would increase revenue for cities and counties, and developers would be able to enter into negotiations with us with more confidence. We might even get a better price for the taxpayers as a result. We feel that House Bill 2115 would benefit the taxpayers, help area businesses, and most importantly, get valuable property back on the tax rolls, and we'd respectfully request your support for this bill.
Thank you, John. I think you can stay in the chair. Representative Gilman, would you like to speak to us on this?
Thank you, Madam Chair and Committee. For the record, my name is George Gilman, State Representative, District 55. We happen to have a co-located county-state maintenance facility in White City. It's not in my district. I think it's in Dennis's district, but it's right next to mine. My good neighbor, Joe Strahl, brought that together, and this bill will help enable other communities to do like things. I really foresee that it makes sense for the city, the county, and the state all to have the same maintenance facility. They can cooperate on use of equipment. They're all in the same building, so they talk to each other about the problems and roads that interconnect, and as you know, this whole system is all intertwined anyway. It makes sense to me. I think 2115 is a great bill, and I hope you'll pass it. Happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Representative. Questions of Representative Gilman? Thanks for coming by.
You.
Appreciate your interest. Members of the committee, questions, further questions?
Thank you very much. Mr. Jackley, is there anything in the bill that requires the exchange to be determined on fair market value?
Yes, it does. That and current law, we still have to get the best possible value and price for the taxpayers. That doesn't change at all. This would just allow us to exchange that kind of undeveloped property for the service of new buildings as well. But it doesn't relieve the obligation to get the best possible deal.
Great. Thank you.
Further questions?
Thank you. I do have a question.
Yes.
When you sell properties, do you have a fee appraisal done before the sale is consummated?
Madam Chair, Representative Esquivel, yes, we do. We have a very extended process for doing that. I'd be glad to send it to you if you'd like to look at it.
That's all you have
but
to do is tell me you do.
We do.
Anything else to read? You can get some real free.
Thank you, Mr. Jackman.
Thank you very much.
I'm going to close public hearing on House Bill 2115 and open a public hearing on House Bill 2173. Sure.
House Bill 2173 streamlines the regulatory process by eliminating registration requirements that offer little benefit to Oregon workers and businesses. It requires the Department of Consumer and Business Services to adopt rules for use of digital signatures by state agencies, and further adopts to adopt rules that protect the security, integrity, and confidentiality of state business transactions that are conducted by electronic commerce. This ensures that business conducted by e-commerce can be audited. It also repeals the Registry of International Trade Consultants.
Okay. I'd ask Mr. Floyd Lanter of the Department of Consumer and Business Services to come forward.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, good morning. For the record, my name is Floyd Lanter. I'm the Administrator for the Division of Finance and Corporate Securities within the Department of Consumer and Business Services. I'm here today to request the committee's support for House Bill 2173. The bill before you is designed to remove unnecessary government regulation of two areas of commerce in Oregon that are relatively small. This bill calls for the elimination of the optional registration requirements for what are known as digital signature certification authorities with the department. And the bill also deletes the requirement that the department maintain a voluntary registry of international trade consultants who are assisting private businesses that are seeking international markets. I'll speak first to the digital signature certification authorities. In 1997, the legislature adopted legislation to provide oversight and ensure accountability of digital signature certification authorities. This law provides the director authority to certify persons who issue digital certificates. These companies, you may have heard some of these names before. They're VeriSign and Entrust. And these certificates verify signatures in transactions across the Internet. A digital signature transforms a message using an asymmetric crypto system, very technical term, but I'll explain it to you, so that the person having the initial message and the signer's public key can accurately determine if the document was created by the person holding a private key or if the message has been altered. In other words, a digital transaction requires a certificate that is comprised of two parts, a public key and a private key. And if the information contained in those keys is authenticated, then you have an electronic credential, if you will, and the transaction is validated. The intent was to enhance the use of the Internet by providing an assurance that the person who signed the document is the person they claim to be and that the document had not been altered during the transmission across the Internet. As a part of the law, the legislature created a registration for certification authorities. These are the companies that issue the certificates. And registration is optional, and the law created no meaningful enforcement tools. In fact, ORS 192.845.3 provides in part that nothing in this section shall be construed to compel any public or private entity to participate in the director certification program as authorized in this section in order to verify digital signatures. In the 7 years that the law has been in effect, we've received no consumer complaints. And we've had very few companies opt to register with us. The most we've ever had was two. We currently have one. The bill will have no impact on e-commerce or the ability to provide authenticated digital signatures. To the extent that digital signatures still provide a meaningful service in e-commerce, that effectiveness will not be changed. The Department of Administrative Services regards digital signatures as a subset of electronic signatures, the electronic signature provisions of the Uniform Electronic Transactions Act. And additionally, there is a federal e-authentication policy that provides additional standards. This bill simply eliminates the option of registering with the department, an option that few, if any, choose to take. Language in the current digital signature law that requires the Department of Administrative Services to oversee the use of digital signatures by state agencies is retained and transferred to another chapter that the Department of Administrative Services is responsible for. The rest of the law is eliminated under this bill, and the department feels it's good government to eliminate laws from the books that serve no purpose and only serve to confuse. With respect to the second portion of the bill, international trade consultants, the 2001 legislature enacted this act and directed the department to establish a voluntary registry of international trade consultants. These folks are those that would be involved with finding international markets for private businesses or assisting them with international laws or market practices. Again, in 2002, there were two businesses listed on our registry, and in 2003 and this past year, 2004, there's only one. The program is strictly voluntary. It requires a candidate to submit information and pay an initial fee of $100, and they pay a renewal fee of $100 for the next 2 years if they're interested. There are no provisions or mechanisms for verifying the accuracy of the information provided by the registrants. The registry simply serves as a locator tool for possible businesses looking for a consultant. Given the lack of participation by international trade consultants in Oregon, the registry appears to provide no meaningful service. In fact, I believe a lot of what this was intended to do is being duplicated over in the office, OCEDD.
Sir,
this law would be another candidate for government...
Mr. Lanton?
Pardon. Oregon Community Economic Development Department.
Thank you very much.
Those acronyms get me done.
That one, I'll let some slip by that one. Okay. I wouldn't let
This law would be another good candidate for government streamlining, and the international trade consultants registry should be eliminated. We have two small ending fund balances associated with these programs collectively. They total $3,800, and according to our accounting people, those funds would be transferred to the general fund if the programs are eliminated. Thank you. I stand ready to answer any questions you might have.
Thank you very much. Questions? I think we have a golden opportunity here to enhance the general fund by we have a balancer here. Speaking as a past member of the Trade and Economic Development Committee last session, I will tell you that these kinds of functions are being done in another agency, not under Department of Consumer and Business Services anymore. And so I'm putting a little exclamation point on that. Any further questions? Thank you, sir, for coming down. Anyone else want to speak to this and our valiant efforts at balancing the budget? Then I will close the public hearing on House Bill 2173. And having nothing further for the good of the order, I am going to adjourn this committee hearing of the committee meeting of the House General Government Committee. And thank you all.